This morning, let's just get going with this thing. I ain't telling you nothing, but this book is all about just being reminded all the time, right? There's so much in here. This book is always telling us, remember this, remember, think about this happened. You know, there's great examples in the Old Testament. You know, they just couldn't do it. And it's written in here, so we know, even though they tried their best, they couldn't do it. It's about reminding and remembering, and all of this is about God telling you and I, when you get to thinking about what it takes to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower, remember you can't do it on your own. Remember that you need God to intervene. Let me remind you of something else. About 185 years ago, Wednesday, about 240-some men gathered in the Alamo, and they stayed there until March the 6th, about 6:30 in the morning, and gave everything they had to defend Texas. They did everything they could. Santa Anna wanted to stop Texas independence, and so he brought thousands of men to San Antonio, and they circled. Everybody seen it kind of happening, so they all raced into the Alamo, into that complex, and they got in there for safety. And Santa Anna, for the next 12, 13 days, kind of got ready to take them, to fight them, to win. And you might remember, if you ever seen the Alamo movies, that Travis in the Alamo gave those men a speech. It was looking bad. Here's what he said. Stood in front of 200 and some men who were willing to fight, defend Texas, defend liberty, freedoms, knowing what was out there, knowing the proverbial crapist was going to hit the fan. He said, "Texas has been a second chance for me. I expect it's been a second chance for a lot of you as well. Not just a second chance at money and land and riches, but a second chance to be a different man. A better man, I hope." He said there's been a lot of ideas in the last few months about what Texas is and what Texas ought to become. Truth is, we don't all agree about all of those things. He said, "But I want to ask each and every single one of you men what it is that you value so highly, that you are so committed to, that you would fight and possibly die for." He said, "Let's call that Texas." He said, "There's a Mexican army out there, 1,000 strong, and they hope to give us a chance at escape. And almost anything would seem better than staying hemmed up here inside the walls of the Alamo." He said, "But I believe if we force our enemy to attack, you all would prove yourselves worthy of 10 men in return." He said, "We will not only show the world what a patriot is made of, but we will deal a crippling blow to the army of Santa Anna." He also said, "That if your desire is to depart now under the white flag of surrender, you have that right." And history says that he drew a line in the sand with his sword, the butt of his rifle, the heel of his boot, in front of all those men. And he stepped back behind that line and he said, "Now I would like every single one of you men who is willing to fight and to die for Texas, step across this line." And history tells us that everybody did. Oh, there might have been one and that didn't. History tells us that they all stepped across that line. And you and I know because of history what happened. It didn't end well. Wasn't a pretty scene. Tragic. And you and I know the truth that they also knew the same truth. They, from the inside of those walls, looked out there and saw nothing but Santa Anna's army, no matter where they looked. 240-something men strong. Thousands of the Mexican army out there. They knew they weren't going to live through this thing. But they stayed. They stayed and they gave everything that they had for something that they believed in. They believed Texas ought to be free. Texas ought to be its own country. They believed that and believed and fought and died for the very land that you and I are standing on right now. The land that we got our cattle on, that we are raising our families on, the land that we are so enjoying. They fought and died for it because they believed it was the right thing to do. They stayed. Truth is, they lost that battle. But you and I are proof that they won the war. Right? At the end of the day, we are living proof that they won the war. Are you done with history? John 3:16 in the Bible. John 3:16 in your Bible. And I hope you know where it is. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life." Here's the thing that so aggravates me, so angers me if I let it get to me. That there are so many people, there are so many Christians in this world who don't have the same kind of dedication, the same kind of commitment, the same kind of loyalty to God that those men did to Texas. It's a struggle we all face. And we can't miss the truth that there is a battle going on right now around us. There's a war going on right now around us. We sit in here and sing and praise and we love this place. But there's a war going on right now around us, amongst us, within us. And the truth of this war is that it is literally a war over self. The war is over self. And there's four tenets to this war of self. The idea that we're so self-righteous. Listen, man, I ain't murdered nobody. We live in a broken world, and I hadn't stole nothing more than a box of snuff. I didn't really do that. I'm lying about that. But I ain't such a bad guy. See, this war of self and self-righteousness means that, well, shouldn't God be okay with me? I'm not a terrible person. What's with all the hoops I got to jump through? I don't do anything terrible bad. I ought to have my ticket punched to heaven. The self-righteousness and the idea of self-pity. And we fight this stuff, you and I, we all do. If God really loves me, if God was really truly the God of creation and he loved the world so much, why do I lack anything? Why do bad things happen to people? What's going on out there? So it makes me wonder what's more important. The religion of self, of self-righteousness, of self-pity, of self-reliance. And we all fight this. Well, listen, I'm my own man. If it's going to happen, it's because I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to get it done. I'm going to make it happen. I can't count on nobody but me. It's me. I got to go get it done. This idea that I'm self-reliant, self-righteous, and self-pity, and also self-indulgent. Self-indulgent. The idea that, why do I got to wait for what I want? Why can't I have what I want? Why can't I go get it? If it's right there, why not take it? Why do I have to lack anything in this world if I can have it? We fight these self-truths every day and fail. Call ourselves Christians. But Jesus, in Matthew 16, on page 748 in this Bible, 747. In Matthew chapter 16, on page 747 in this Bible. If you ain't got a Bible, poke your hand up. Let's get you one. You got to read this stuff. You got to read it. I ain't a liar, but I might stretch the truth. Not this truth, but about my horses and stuff. You got to read this. This is for you. You're not supposed to believe me. You're supposed to verify me. Matthew 16. I'm going to start in the 21st verse. It said, from then on, Jesus had been rolling with his boys for a little bit. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders and the leading priests and the teachers of religious law, that he would be killed, but on the third day that he would be raised from the dead. He goes on to say, but Peter, we all know Peter. Peter took him aside and he began to reprimand him. Whoa, Jesus, no, listen, not on my watch. You ain't got to do this. We got your back, Jesus. Peter took him aside and reprimanded him for saying this. He said, heaven forbid, Lord. He said, this will never happen to you. And in verse 23, Jesus turned to Peter. And he said, get away from me, Satan, while they looked Peter in the eye. Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap for me, and you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. You need to mark this down. In 24, Jesus turned to all the rest of the disciples. He says to the boys, he says to me and you today, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come again with his angels in the glory of the Father, and he'll indulge and he will judge all people according to their deeds. I don't know if you caught this, but that's Jesus drawing a line in the sand. I don't know if you recognize that, but that's literally Jesus calling you and I to action. Those words are meant for you and I to respond. He didn't say that to the disciples so we could read it and then say, hey, boys, you better get on board. Those words are there for you and I. So I wonder. So I'm thinking. If we rewrote Colonel Travis's speech, how would we respond? Because Jesus has been a second chance for me. And I expect he's been a second chance for a lot of you as well. Second chance not only at eternal life and eternal happiness and eternity, but a second chance to be a better man. The truth is, there's been a lot of religions brought up in the last 2,000 years. all about what Christianity is, what Christianity ought to become. We've divided ourselves up by denominations because we don't all agree. But I would like to ask you what it is that you value so highly, what it is that you think so much of that you would fight and possibly die for. Let's call him Jesus. Old Slick's out there on the outside of these doors. And he would like to lure you and I into a chance of escape. He wants you and I to think and to feel like this world is our best option. But I believe that if we would force our enemy to attack us by being where God has called us to be, every single one of you would prove yourselves worthy of any 10 saints in return. We would not only show the world what a Christian is made of, but we would deal a crippling blow to Satan and his army of demons. But if you would choose to leave, to run, to stand still under the white flag of surrender, God's also given you that choice. And you and I need to recognize that if you want to stay here with me, with the church, we will sell our lives dearly. You see, that line in the sand that Jesus drew in Matthew 16 is still there. It is still there. And there is the line that you and I have to cross. We will lose many battles in this life. We'll look up and we'll be so surrounded with destruction and misery and fear and pain. We'll feel like we're hopeless. But the God of this Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The God of this Bible says, cling to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. The God of this Bible says that if you cross this line, you win. The battles will be fought, but the war won't be over until we get to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 19. In this Bible, it's on page 960. Revelation 19 and 11, John the Revelator. I love saying that. John the Revelator says, then I saw heaven opened and a white horse was standing there, its rider named Faithful and True. For he judges fairly, wages a righteous war. And his eyes are like flames of fire, and on his head are many crowns. A name was written on them that no one could understand except himself. And he wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, dressed in the finest white linen, followed him on white ponies. And from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod, and he will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, the only people who get to ride them white ponies are those of us that that crossed that line. There's a literal line. You're not a Christian because your mama prayed for you. You're not a Christian. You're not saved because your granny and grandpa always drug you to church. You are not a Christian because of what somebody has done. You are saved because God has reached down and plucked you out of humanity. And He wants you to cross that line. God is calling you and I to action, not to be saved so we go to heaven and then we get to have our picture on the wall, but saved so that we can battle in this world. It's no mystery. Being a Christian is not Skittles and rainbows. It ain't like, oh man, it's all good now, boy, I got it all. Being a Christian is being engaged in the war. The battles go on, no matter who you are, where you are. Christianity ain't for wimps. Christianity, the call that Jesus tells us to pick up your cross and follow me, to cross that line, is about standing up. And standing isn't mean standing up and saying I'm a Christian. Standing is standing for what God says is right and true. And when God calls a man to move, he moves. And when God says that it's a sin, it's a sin. And when God says it is not okay, it will never be okay. There's not a gray area, there's a line. You and I, to get one of them ponies, have to cross that line. Good news is, we know how it ends. The back of this book says there's a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. It is all Skittles and rainbows. It is good. The grass is knee-deep. The waters are cool, clear, and deep. Cattle on 1,000 hills. You think, I ain't a cowboy. Did you read in 19 where you get a white horse? You too are a cowboy. We're all there. If you cross that line. If you make a choice to be obedient to God's call in your life. If you'll choose God this day. The devil is going to spend all of his resources and all of his time telling you and I, this world is about me. It's about self. It's about how I feel. What's important to me and what I want. Telling me that how I feel is important. Telling me that what I want is important. Telling me that this is the best place to be. This book says it's all about Jesus. And on the other side of that river, Skittles and rainbows. Pray with me. Lord, you require a response from people who call themselves Christian. We say we are Christ followers, and then we go back to living the same old life that we lived. And Lord, as it's always been, it's so easy to deceive ourselves. To feel like I got my ticket punched to heaven. Now I don't got to do anything else. I can worry about me and mine and take care of what I want. And pursue the things that I want. And you call us to pick up our cross and follow me. Fight the battles for the kingdom. To fight the battles of faith. To stand on your word and to know that my God will supply all my needs. Almighty God, creator of the universe, omnipresent, omnipotent, the God who loved the world so much that he became a man and came into humanity, paid a sin debt that only he was capable of paying. For a sinner like me. Lord, I crossed that line. And from now on, and forevermore, would you encourage me, strengthen me, keep me? As I fall back, as I stumble, as I wreck around this world, remind me, Lord, that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, my King. And it's in the precious name and on the precious authority of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.